everybody. I'm Chad Eckert. You can follow me on Twitter at EdinaRealChi. That's Joe Idoni at Tour Picks on Twitter. This is the Preferred Lines podcast. Follow us on Twitter as well at Preferred Lines. Joe, we're back.
We're back, baby.
Yes, sir. We got cool Agnes Martins, my co-host, the sidekick of the Fantasy Golf Pods with us. That's our special guest, Joe.
You ready to do this?
I am.
All right. Wait, should we crack beers first? I feel like we should crack beers first.
Oh, of course.
Oh, you're already cracked.
Cheers, is it boys. Bad that I already cracked? Sorry.
Oh, that's nothing new. He comes on the podcast and he pretends and he like has a bottle. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? No, we crack beers, click names over at the Fantasy Golf Pod where my co-host here, Quagnus Eric Martins. You can follow him at Quagnus on Twitter. He's a not expert as well. So last week we have Ben Coley. Next week we have a super nice, juicy guest. And this in between, Quagnus, you're here.
Somehow. Jesus.
Why do we have you on?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Have you ever even made a bet before?
Probably not in the way that you guys are. I've made some bets casually with friends about various things, debating.
You've never been to Vegas, walked up to the window and said,
no.
You've never deposited it on a shady website and clicked and submitted?
No, I haven't.
God. Well, you do every week on DraftKings. That's a casino. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
Right, gambling there. What do you think, Joe?
All right, you want to shoot?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's ask this little punk some questions.
All right.
Jesus.
Here we go.
You first? I'm going to put the timer on.
Put the timer. Hold on. Let me do the intro first.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. We at the Preferred Lines Pod now bring to you this week's Front Nine segment with our guest. He makes up one half of the hardest working team in content. He created the intro to the show. Now on the tee, hailing from Minnesota, Eric Martins, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. It's kind of
you. Claps. A lefty, no doubt. Eric, what do you drink? What do you normally drink? What's your favorite alcoholic beverage, beer? What do you drink?
It's whatever IPA is on sale for around $12 a beer, 12 packs. So this week it was the Rebel IPA from Sab Adams. I always like those. And just depends on the week. My local merchants.
Nice.
Nice. All right, Eric, here's what we're going to do here. We're calling this segment the Front Nine. So Chad and I here are going to put you in the hot seat. We are going to rapid fire questions. Back and forth, whatever we want to ask you. I'm sure Chad may be a little more pressing than I will, but you have to answer. We want to keep it short. We want to keep it concise. We want to keep it moving. You down with that?
I can do that.
We're going to go for 9-ish minutes or so. Chad will give us the heads up when we're getting close. You ready to get it going?
But wait, no cheating, Eric, and like taking your time and like droning on and on. So you only get 3 questions and we can pepper you with the other ones that we want to make fun of you about. So just 9 minutes worth. Here we go.
First thought, best thought. All right, I'm in.
Chad, you're up.
Okay, I've got this started. Okay, I started with the fact that you've never bet and then you drink that beer right there. But Eric, who is your favorite person to bet and to use on DraftKings?
I'm not going to bet anybody, but to use on DraftKings, one of my favorite plays will be Bryson DeChambeau at the bottom of the 10K range.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Eric, are you a GPP player or do you play cash games mostly?
I'll only play GPP at this point. I tried cash games and I realized it's just the same roulette, the casino, DK, whatever. So just GPP.
Yeah, exactly. Eric, this is a betting podcast. I know you don't bet, but do you know what it means if someone is plus 700 to win a tournament?
Well, the only thing that I understand is that the minus is a lot easier to understand, right? Because if it's like minus 250, isn't that like minus, isn't that they're like 2.5 to 1 or something? I don't know what plus means, so sorry.
It has to do with the amount of money you bet on that particular person. So if it's plus 700, Rory McIlroy to win this week, if you put $100 down, you win 700.
Oh,
anyway.
All right, so going. Betting stuff aside, we're not going to go dig too much in there, I guess. But tell me what it's like. You know, you've been doing this, Eric, for a while now. I'm just starting. Give me some tips on dealing with your co-host here, Chad.
Well, you know, he's got a different brain. So, you know, as long as you are able to recognize that and you know, improvise, you know, and I can just see his face over there. Just
how often do I yell at you?
You know, it's only once every couple of months.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not bad, but
there was only the one time that I threatened to fire you.
Right. And then there was the one time I, you know, reacted insanely, but no, you're working one of the best brains in the business. So it's a good situation for the.
Interesting. I kind of teed that up for you to take a little shot there, but
yeah, he's too nice.
He took the high road.
Yeah,
I know. I know. I'm Minnesota nice. Sorry.
Well, Eric, also, why do you bet the favorite, or why are you always on the favorite each week?
Well, I mean, take a look at Rory McIlroy this week. Again, I mean, hefty price at 11.8, but look at what he does. I mean, look at they do. These guys are the best in the world. Rory McIlroy. I mean, what you can pay for him on DraftKings this week, and it might actually work out, because I think that probably some other guys are going to show up. There's question marks everywhere for this week. It's fantastic. I think this is the week to take chances, but I think Rory McIlroy is going to be involved. Why wouldn't he be? And that's why. So that's why we always debate. You fade the top price and I don't.
So it's a good point of conflict sort of between you guys. Let me ask you, in a week like this, DraftKings wise, there's not much to glean from form. Is there a go-to stat that you look at generally and weight above the rest? And does that factor in this week?
I always start with, and this is going to sound like a cop-out, but it's not. It's strokes gained total. And what I'll do is I'll look at strokes gained total in general over 50 rounds, over all courses, and I'll do strokes gained total over the last handful of rounds, whether it's like 8 or 12 or whatever, so just get like a general idea of recent form, who's just playing good. I'm not looking at like approach or stroke gained off the tee or whatever. I'm just trying to see who's playing good golf, you know. And then actually after that, I go to strokes gained putting on the specific surface that they might be putting on. And that's going to lead me to my initial decision-making process.
So. Hey, Sophia, how are you? Okay, that's one of your two children now, Eric.
Go back upstairs.
I want the iPad.
Okay, go get it.
Oh, yeah, definitely get the iPad, Sophia, for sure.
Yeah.
here's the thing, Eric. Now, you're always saying things to me on our pod, but then you don't actually do the things you give advice to say and say to do. How does that make you feel when you're super tilted? And why don't you listen to yourself?
Hey, you know as much as I do that, you know, when it comes to the night, when you're starting to click and you're starting to build your lineups and you're starting to create your pool, you have to make decisions and, you know, cuts get made. I asked this guy, I asked that guy. You ask people too. You tell me about your tilts. Make the same stupid decisions I do. So,
Eric,
do you even
like playing DraftKings? Do you even like it? Is it even fun for you? You never win. You're terrible at it.
Hey, no, wait a minute. That's not true.
Like doing the podcast with me? I interrupt you all the time. I yell at you. I make fun of you. Do you even like doing it? Are you having any fun?
I have a really good time, despite the fact that you mock me from time to time. But that's okay. You know, no, I have a lot of fun because, you know, it's you're waiting around for weeks to get that like one. All of a sudden, oh look it, I have that one bullet. There, you know, yeah, you can't expect to have that every single week. I don't expect to have it every single week. And I bet for people that are betting, you're not hitting winners every week. This is a process that's like long term, you know, So I do have fun. You know, yeah, there's weeks, you know, you're fucked, but you just, you have to brush it aside. It's taken years for me to be able to sort of just brush aside a week and say, yeah, I was wrong with my picks. But then those weeks that you're right, it's glorious.
2 minutes. Last couple questions.
2 minutes. All right. Here's a question. I know that you both like to golf. 18-hole match between you two. What's the line? What are the odds? Are you minus or are you a plus money, Eric?
Well,
are we playing the tips? Is this a long course? Because that's could be a factor in this answer. Because I thought about this. I don't want to steal your
playing
thunder.
The blue tees.
Okay. Blue tees.
Well, I don't know much about the plus or minus, but I think I can say that I'm a favorite. I'm a slight favorite. I think I'm like a 60-40 favorite.
Okay. So
what does that equate to?
You're probably like minus 160 then?
It's yeah, 60, I was going to go a little higher, but definitely minus the 190s or something.
And you're probably 2-1, Chad.
I'm trying to decide about this earlier when we talked about maybe what we're going to ask Eric. The scenario where I beat Eric, there is no scenario really, unless it's a really long course. Like, I can't figure out a way that I'm going to beat Eric. He's too level-headed. Guy doesn't make any mistakes. Bounces back from bad shots. It's insane. So, I don't know. I don't think there's a scenario. He's going to have to play really bad. I'm going to have to play really good.
Hey, we'll find out this weekend.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We got Jish Swish. We're going to play each other. We're going to meet up in Alexandria. You'll probably see that content on our Twitter page, Fantasy Golf Pod. We're going to play in Alexandria this weekend together. Fun times.
Boom.
So there you go. That's Eric. Thanks, Eric. Quagnus Martins. Is that enough, Joe?
Thank you for coming on.
I continue
to enjoy your guys' content a lot. So I know that if you hadn't started this thing up and given him this opportunity, we wouldn't have this show. So thank you, Eric. I appreciate you. We'll keep following along. Fantasy Golf Pod. Cheers, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Cheers. We'll, see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
I'm kicking you out.
Goodbye.
Remove.
Later.
Remove Eric. Nice. There you go. Okay. So, shall we make the turn, Joe?
Let's do it.
Let's open the betting board. I have a betting board here. It is from a website. We are not going to name that website. It's not the website that I deposited money on either, because I deposited money, Joe.
He's in the game, folks.
This won't be pretend now. But I'm a little hesitant to talk about this because it's – is this illegal? Is this legal? I don't even know. Because it's not legal in my state, Minnesota, to bet. But I don't care because I'm not really betting a lot of money. I wanted to throw this disclaimer out before we got going here. And like every week, you got to remember that this is just for fun. Don't bet more than you can afford to lose. Bet for entertainment, not to seek profit. And if you do have a problem, call somebody about it. 1-800-GAMBLER or somebody. Either way. No need to pretend anymore, Joe, because I got some real actual American dollars on people. Now, not a lot of money. Like, let's not kid ourselves. I only got my $20 that I bet each week. So
the account is funded. That's all that matters. Now it's what you do with those funds that's going to make or break you, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. But it's got at least $20 on the Charles Schwab Challenge played at Colonial. A stacked field, dude. And this is what it is. Now, we're going to not really talk about everybody. We can't do that. We don't have time for that. And we don't want to do that. There's no point in doing that. Do you have a name at the top of the board here that you're interested in talking about?
Look, not really in the top. I normally don't play the top anyways. This week is just kind of a crapshoot. Look, we all know it. So I'm going to go ahead and move straight to the 28-1 range.
Okay. I saw your video. I saw your video. You're trying to
put a little post out about it. I'm torn in this range. There are a lot of guys that I think pose value at that number and that I like rooting for. So it's going to be tough. You got Brooks. My guy, anyone who's followed me for a while knows that I am a Brooks truther, so to speak. I support him sometimes irrationally, but I think the break was very good for Brooks. He's got a good finish here. I believe runner up 2 years ago when he played. I think that he has the ability to just hammer driver deep on some of these holes. And normally in Texas, the rough doesn't play a huge factor. It's normally pretty easy to get out of. I remember watching the Byron Nelson from a few years ago, and he did the same thing. He just bombed it into the rough, and he gouged a wedge out. Could it be the same thing this week? I don't know. You've got Patrick Reed right there, who I am not a huge fan of, but I think he is a threat this week. Texas native, tremendous hands around the green, which is sort of a commonality on some of the winners here. Was in good form before we took this break, this hiatus. He won within a month of it. And you got my guy, Ricky Utaka Fowler, sitting right there. I was kind of looking for the resurgence here. I'm not going to shy away from that take now. Can get a scorching hot putter, which has also been a trait that we've seen a lot of these winners have. And then you have Sungjae. Look, is anyone showed better form that we saw than Sungjae Im? You can't say that. The leader in the standings, we know he's been grinding over the break. Is he ready to put his best foot forward in a big time field? That's what sort of remains to be seen. Going to find out here in a few days, which is exciting. What about you? Who do you like in the top range here? You got anyone circled?
No, I feel your sentiment. I've seen a little bit of love on Brooks in the industry, and it's moved his number off that 28. So you have to shop it from where I'm seeing it, because like people are looking at that. My personal take, though, at the top of the range is I'm going to avoid it like I normally do, and I'm going to go a little bit further down, and I'm going to look at the guy that everybody actually is looking at, dude. Jordan Spieth.
Okay. You went there. Mm-hmm. Tell me why. I want to hear your reasoning. Give me a why.
Okay. So, well, I did actually put money on Sungjae Im. I'm going to put money on Sungjae Im every week. 28-1. I don't really care. $56 on $2, like whatever, 2 units. But I like Spieth because of the Texas narrative, and I like Spieth for the most money I'm going to put on anybody this week. 40-1 is what I got him on. It looks like you get him a little bit higher, whatever. The one that I've deposited money, I gave you 40, whatever. He loves Colonial. He's actually the best scoring average here since 2013. He's the most strokes gained total at Colonial, anyone here in the field. Most top tens at any event in his career is at this tournament. Likes Texas. Third most rounds under par in Texas since 2010 of anybody. I'm finding some of these stats from the PGA media guide. It's free. You can look these things up. Again, third best score to par of anyone in Texas since 2010, and second most rounds in Texas in the 60s. He's had 52 rounds in the 60s in Texas since 2010. Whatever. T2. Third best. Birdies are better around. It's like he just loves Texas. So, whatever. I'm going to buy into that. 40-1. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't put it past him. Look, I am going to stay on the other side sort of that fence, and I'm going to fade Jordan until I got to see it, right? I got to see it first. Now, granted, once you see it, you're not going to get the same number, but I'm going to sort of pay that price. Obviously, it's a great setup for him. It's a great spot for him. A lot of those numbers, dating back to 2010, there was a good span in there where he was the number one player in the universe. He's not even close to that anymore. So I think maybe a little bit skewed. Sure. So his strength is obviously putting, but what else is he going to excel at this week? He's going to have to be really good off the tee or really good on approaches, and he hasn't shown either of those things this year. Could he have fixed it in the last 3 months? Yes. Is he working tremendously hard? Yes. I'm sure as hard as anybody, he wants that throne back.
The regression to the mean theory. Everybody right. has this. I'm only as good as I am, and I know this, and – that's why I'm just not going to admit I'm never going to beat Martins, like, or whatever. Like, you just are who you are. And I think Jordan is better than he had been playing. And I feel like there's got to be regression there. I want to catch it early. 40 is a freaking steal, I think. 50s, you could get those too. But I thought, whatever, it's all the same. Now, is he going to win? I don't know. It'll take a miracle and it'll be insane. But did he lead the PGA championship going into the third or the final round last summer or whatever? Did he have tournaments? Did he have flashes? Did he have where he was a second round leader or whatever? He's had low rounds there and here and there. Let's get it all together. Four rounds. I got the number. I'm not going to be able to get it better than 40 ever again if he ends up cashing my 40, which probably not. But if he's in the contention on Sunday, hey, I'm going to go into that live stuff and try to hedge it. Try to grab a couple numbers and figure out a way to win some money no matter what.
I'm off of it this week, though.
You know,
who else you got?
He likes – Spieth likes the grass. He knows the greens. He knows the course. We know this. You know another guy who likes the grass, knows the course, does things around here is Ryan Palmer. I bought into that dude, the guy that has – hey, he's a member of the course. He and his caddy. I have been following this narrative. We all know he's born in Amarillo. He went to Texas A&M. He lives in Coyville, Texas. He's a Texas guy through and through. Ryan Palmer at 66-1. Chuck a dollar on that. You into that?
Yeah, you know what? I am into that. I actually took Palmer as well. Cool. You know, like you said, the course narrative, I've heard a lot of people touch base on it, but how a lot of these courses coming out of the gate are going to play a little bit different with no grandstands, no fans. It's going to bring a course back to its sort of natural element, which Ryan Palmer, being a member of this course, sees the course. It's going to be a familiar layout for him. You know, previous years, it's unfamiliar territory when all of a sudden you have huge bleachers behind every green. Look, I feel like most golf courses are set up to coming into the green. If you're long of the green, right? If you take a club that's too long, it's generally huge trouble, at least down here in Florida. Like, you always want to be in green versus behind the green. When these PGA Tour events are set up, a lot of these guys, if you've got a 3-wood in, who cares, right? Blast it up there. You've got basically a backstop right behind the green. There's only so much trouble you can get into before you get a drop, before you're in the wires and you can move your ball, before you're behind a grandstand, and then you drop it right behind the green. So a lot of times in these cases, I feel like it's beneficial for them to be long, okay? Take their drop, chip and putt for birdie on a lot of these par fives. So this is going to play traditional. There's going to be a lot of spots that these guys are unfamiliar upon on within the course, and I think Ryan Palmer has that advantage this week. 66-1, I think, is a fair number. I'm in.
Why not? Yeah. Okay. I also got Horschel 66-1. I'm going to do that. Billy Ho likes greens and likes to compete, so he likes to bike apparently. So I'll do that 66-1, and then I also have another guy in this range. I have Neiman 80-1. I got. Yoki Neiman, he got nothing else to do but work on his six-pack and hit irons, so let's do it. I'm going to go with the young gun. I'm going to do Neiman.
Speaking of young guns, I got Victor Hovland.
Okay.
I think he's 66-1 in most places. I snagged a 72.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's decent.
I know he's been grinding, right? I know he's been playing. He struggles to chip around the green, but if his approaches are on, I don't think it's going to matter this week. He hits it incredibly straight off the tee, so he's not going to find himself in a ton of trouble. You know, Ricky and I got a couple cowboys down there in Texas. It makes sense, right?
Sure. Now, did Hovland won some offshoot thing, so he has a win, but still needs a real event win, technically.
Right? Yeah, he won in Porto about a month before this whole thing went down. And he honestly, I watched that event because I had Teeter at a huge number. And Hovland did not have his best game. And he still came away with the win. It was a terrible field by PGA Tour standards. But to still get that win and not have your best game, I think showed me a lot. He made a clutch putt to finish on 18 to win the tournament. I think it gave him a lot of confidence. He's hired Pete Cowan, I think, to kind of rectify his issues around the green, which is, you know, been his point of struggling. But he sent out – did you see the picture of his hands today that was kind of circling the round?
You don't get
hands that look like that if you've been taking a couple months off golf. I think he should be priced near the Scheffler range, I think, is probably his ability level. Scheffler, obviously, with the win at Merido. Hovland, I think, finished second or third there. But still, I feel like they should be closer. So them being 30, one's at 40-1, one's at 72. I'm going to take the guy at 72.
Have you begun to think and ponder about your long shots, the first one back? Do you have a few in that 101 and above range?
Yeah. I do. I'm still whittling that down. I'm going to release that tomorrow. But I've got a couple guys here. So I've got Ian Poulter, I believe at 110-1. I took him essentially because of the Coley tip. He was on the show. He is a long shot artist. So
yeah, I got a dollar on him.
Another guy that I got that I think I talked a little bit about last week was Brian Harman. Great course history here. Has played this event five straight years. 31st place was his worst finish in those 5 years. He's been there for a while. I think it's a good setup for him. He can also get a really hot putter, which is one thing that I'm kind of looking for in terms of a winner. It's if you look back at the history over the last 5 years, I have a stat I'll touch base on later when we get to our picks, but it is shown to be one of the most prevalent things in terms of leading to a victory. So I know that Brian Harman can do that. I've got other guys circled. That 151 range is so juicy. There's so many names there. There's Connors. There's Pan. Willett's in that range. There's so many guys. So
and I don't have either of those guys.
One or two of them and hoping that you can get a Sunday sweat.
Well, I have three others at 151. I got Putnam, I told you about last week.
I like Putnam.
I got CH3. I feel like that's kind of weird. 150-1 for CH3. You could win. And then Poston, why not? You got to grab stuff. Poston won something recently. 150-1 on JT Poston, a young guy. I think that's
right. There's so many guys in this range. There's Harry Higgs, too. I know you put out the tweet earlier, went to SMU. He's been playing really well. Lanto won in Texas last year in Houston. It's chalk full. You've just got to take two or three guys in this range and – you know, throw a dollar on them, see what happens.
Well, do you want to go to your preferred lines yet or not?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You want to do yours first, or should I tell you that I got Spieth and Neiman, and then I got M. I already mentioned those people, but I got Finau as well. I'm going to go with the Finau is going to win. I'm kind of insane, but we're going to go that way. Who do you got?
All right. So at the top, I talked about these guys earlier. This is where I'm going, and this is what kind of made the difference for me. So I looked at the recent winners just to try and see what stuck out. I got a stat for you. Last 5 years, the winner of this tournament has gained 8.75 strokes gained around the green and putting. Almost 9 strokes around the green and putting. It's insane. That's not a regular thing in these tournaments. So you have my four guys, Brooks, M, Reed, and Ricky. Those are the four guys I'm looking at. You want to gain a lot of strokes around the green in putting? I took Reed and Ricky. Tremendous chippers, some of the best hands around the green in the game, and they're both fantastic on the greens. Those are the two guys I went with there. I got Palmer, I got Hovland, and then up at the top, I've taken Poulter and Harman. I'm going to add some more of those guys, like I said, tomorrow. I'll have a full card out on Wednesday on Twitter. And we'll keep it going. Golf is back. I just want to get this thing kicked off, right? I want to get this first ball in the air and just get going, because the more that I feel like we wait, it's just got me worried that something could potentially happen. But I think we should be all systems go at this point.
I think we at least get this tournament.
Yeah.
Sadly. Now, we got to go to the Twitter questions. We got one question basically submitted by our guy. Clint Jones, at Clint L. Jones on Twitter, asked about head-to-heads and if we're into those. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if I am into those or not, because we're trying to figure out if we are. Are you into head-to-heads?
Yeah, I do. You know, I haven't – I've been doing head-to-heads for a while. I find that they're very difficult to sort of nail down. They can be really inconsistent. Normally like to do is to find an underdog in a matchup in one or two a week and take that. When you start laying juice on guys -130, -140 in a matchup, it gets tough. One thing I really look for there is not so much who to play, but who don't you like? And kind of try to isolate that guy who you think this course doesn't set up well for, or who may not have a great week. Look to see who he's paired against and then see if you can find a good number. Did you find any of those out there?
Well, right now, the available offers that I've seen at a three ball is the featured group pairings, which are pretty juicy. So we could run through that. I'm just going to ask you who you like. Bryson, DJ, or Rose?
I like Bryson. I don't like favorite. DJ right now. And I just think if you look at comparatively the numbers, on their odds to win between Bryson and Rose. You know, Bryson is in the low 20 range, and you got Rose up at 40. I feel like the bookmakers, you know, think he has twice as strong of a chance to win the tournament. So I'd take Bryson there.
Rory favored over Rahm, and Brooks is a dog.
I like Brooks. He's good enough to beat those two guys, and there's not many players that are. It's just more or less banking on a little bit of rust. If this was coming right off of the Arnold Palmer, I would say that you have to take Rory. But with this little bit of time off, I think gives Brooks a little bit of an advantage, maybe made up some ground there. I'll take him as the dog.
Oh, yeah. So Gary Woodland and Na are plus 150, and Phil is plus 240. Do you like Woodland, Na, or Phil?
Give me Phil.
Oh, really?
Phil. He's been playing, you know, he's won twice here. That's a big number in a three ball. I think that Kevin Na could struggle this week. He doesn't tend to, it doesn't seem like he plays well at the same event back-to-back years. So give me Phil, plus 240.
JT, is it free money at plus 125 against Fowler and Spieth? Now, this is only for round one, keep in mind. Spieth, Fowler, JT.
So only being round one throws a little bit of a wrinkle into it. Look, he's the best player by a wide margin there. I think he's probably the third best player in the world right now. Spieth, unless he got improved vastly, is nowhere near Justin Thomas. And he's on another level than even Ricky right now. So, yeah, I'll take JT.
Yeah, JT plus 125. That's the bet right there. Okay, we're running out of time. 2 minutes to go. Should we give away a towel? Oh, wait, we just did. His name is Clint, and he got the towel. Send us a DM, Clint, because you're the one to ask questions. Where are you guys? Ask questions, you fools. Come on, help us out. Or don't. We don't care. You're not getting a towel. Then fine.
Yeah, Clint, you got it, man. DM us your address, and we'll get it out.
All right. And thank you, again, for following us on Twitter, @PreferredLines. We appreciate you.
Let's go.